Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I thank you for the moving of your spirit. I thank you for your angelic hosts that are walking to and fro throughout these chairs. And Father God, I just ask that you open up our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes and let us hear what thus saith the Lord, and let us see into the spirit realm and see what you see. And Father, bless those that came out. Whatever the need is, Father God, meet it tonight. And Father, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Tonight, we're going to talk about enter into the fullness of God. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. God said, children, enter into the fullness of all that I have for you. Be afraid no longer that you have missed me, for I have purged out all the leaven, and the loaf is now totally whole. So God's taken everything out of you that would hinder you from going forth and doing the things that God has you do, and now you just have to walk in that and do the things God's calling you forth to do. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then God said, more yet to come. So much more yet to come. And there is liberty in what is to come. There is liberty to step into the fullness of time and go forth and do great and mighty exploits for me. So there's liberty. There's no bondage. God's taken all the bondage away from us. And you can read that in Galatians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, in Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. Let's just stop there. You know, with this praise and worship that we're going through, the enemy's not happy with it. And yeah, I don't know what you're experiencing as you're sitting here and entering into this type of praise and worship. But with me, God's bringing up my past, things I pushed down and forgot because they hurt too much to remember. And God is letting me see through this praise and worship exactly what my life was all about, even as a young child. And I know what's going on here. But I don't know what God is doing with you doing with this type of praise right now. But let him do whatever he needs to do to make sure that you're totally and completely free from anything from your past. Because, you know, sometimes things hurt so bad and we push them down and we cover them over and we say they never existed. And then at the right moment, the enemy's going to draw on those things to cause you to either quit God, or something will happen that's not going to be good. So if God is trying to pull up from within you things that you have truly buried, let him bring it all up. Because he says he's removed all the leaven. What he's saying is he's removing everything that's in you from out of you that would hinder your walk with God. And I can just about with surety of heart say that everybody in this room or anybody listening, there are things that happen in your life that you don't want to think about. The hurt is too great. And so over the years, you've just pushed it aside and buried it, but it's still in there. And God is saying, we need to get it out. All right? So don't be surprised, is what I'm trying to say, at what you encounter during deep worship, because it's God inside cleansing. You know, we can sit here and shout and jump and run, and those things are still in there, and they're not moving. But whenever you sit still and you really worship, that's when God can go in and do the deeper works. All right, so I'm going to read this again. More yet to come, so much more yet to come, and there is liberty in what is to come. there is liberty to step into the fullness of time and go forth and do great and mighty exploits for me. God said, the strong-willed I have removed. Why, you ask? Because they would not allow me to purge the leaven out. They hold on to their flesh and want to be in control. This cannot be in my kingdom. This taints the moving of my spirit and causes the glory to wane. So he said, the strong-willed I have removed. Why, you ask? Because they would not allow me to purge the leaven out. All right, so God's trying to purge something out of me that I forgot was there. And I could see. I said, God, I can't believe this. I was seeing clearly the room and the things that went on. And, you know, I could have either said, no, I don't want to see that. I don't want to remember that. Or like I did, I said, God, whatever this is you're doing, just go ahead and complete it. If this, you know, if you have to do this, if you have to make me face this, and I'll face it. Do you understand this? And so somebody might even say something to you and, you know, well, God showed me this about you. And you get all up in arms because even though you know it's there, you don't want to face it. You don't want to have to go through the ordeal of getting through it. But, you know, when God is in it and he's doing the purging, it won't be an ordeal. You just say, God, whatever you're doing, go ahead and do it. Do it quickly. God said, everlasting after everlasting will be the cry of my people. I go from everlasting to everlasting and I faint not. I am always on the move, and I know exactly what needs to be accomplished at any given second. So when he says everlasting after everlasting will be the cry of my people, but we will say to God, do whatever you got to do. Just take me higher and take me deeper. Because he is an everlasting God, and I want to be where he's at. Do you not? And you can find that in Psalm 103, verse 17. Then God said, you cannot be a wayward child and handle my glory. My glory is tangible. My glory is all around, and my glory fills the temples of the holy ones, the righteous ones, and the upright in heart. You find that in Psalm 119, verse 7. You cannot be a wayward child and handle my glory. Do you see why God is perfecting us? From deep within, because the glory has to go deep within if we're going to carry it and God use us with his glory. God says, touch not my anointed, my word proclaims. Do you know how many just pass over that part of my word and they touch my anointed ones continually? They have no inclination of what they have done when they speak about my anointed ones. But they shall know when I strip them of my glory and they are standing naked before the throne of grace. Did I not say, you be who you are and do what I have called you forth to do and let the others alone? Yes, and an astounding yes. I spoke those words and they are yes and they are amen. You find that in Psalm 105, verse 15. And I keep telling people, do not talk about another ministry. You are touching God's anointed. And, you know, so you think they're not doing right, but you don't know what God thinks. You don't know what God is saying or doing. So you be who you are, and you allow them to be who God's calling them to be. And even if God is telling you that they are not of him, you still cannot say anything about them. Are you listening here? You just cannot talk about another ministry. That's a no-no in God's eyes. God said, let men speak all manner of evil against you. Carry your cross well. Carry your cross as my son Jesus did. Take the brunt of their sarcasm, knowing that my son had to do the very same thing. Guys, people are just going to talk about you. I don't care. You could be God incarnate. They would still talk about you. So get over it. Get over it right now. Just don't let things bother you, and you just be what God's calling you forth to be. An anointed child of God, full of the Holy Spirit, carrying a glory carrier, saving the lost at any cost. That's who you are. And if people don't like it, well, that's fine. They didn't like Jesus either. And you can find that in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 26. God said, there are many roads you will have to travel before your journey ends. But if you keep your eyes on the prize of the high calling, you will not be swayed by the things around about you. That you find that in Philippians 3:14. There are many roads that you will have to travel before your journey ends. But if you keep your eyes on the prize of the high calling, you will not be swayed by the things around about you. Guys, you know, as you go on with God, there are things going to happen to your life. God is not going to keep you in a cocoon. You are a normal human being walking out there in the world, and things are going to happen. There are things going to happen in your life that you thought would never happen now, since we're in this dispensation, but they're still going to happen. Didn't they happen before? After you was born again and things started to happen. I never thought this was going to happen if I got born again. Well, they did. You're going to say the very same thing in this dispensation of time. I never thought this was going to happen. After all, God said we were, you know, but they're going to happen. You're going to have to carry your own load, I just heard God say. You're just going to have to carry your own load. And it doesn't matter what anybody says about you or where you have to go. You have to do what God is calling you forth to do. God said, you are my chosen vessels of honor that I have been working with for over a decade now. And as I said before, you have passed every test and you have come forth as pure shining gold out of the furnace of affliction. No more wondering what I am doing. You will know what I am doing and you will know every outcome. For you will be seated with me in heavenly places, being given divine orders as to how the plan is being played out. And that's in Ephesians 2:6. Look at Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God. He knew everything that was going to happen. But look how he had to endure the hardships in life. He knew everything. He knew exactly when it was going to happen. The only thing he didn't know is when the second coming is going to happen. But he knew everything. And he taught in his word everything, but people did not receive him. Are you listening? Some are going to receive you and some aren't. And they're going to say, who do you think you are? Be like Jesus. Just sit there and say nothing. They said, you think you're somebody? Say, you said so. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that what Jesus said? They said, you're the king. He said, you said it. I didn't. Come on. Get ready. Will you tell your daughter to go upstairs and sleep? Get ready, guys, to be persecuted while you're walking in the glory of God. Get ready to have the glory of God fall on you, signs, wonders, and miracles happen, and still people persecute you. We have to get to that place or God can't use you. And there's probably little things going on in your life right now that you're really upset about that you need to get over. Because if these little things are going to bother you, what's going to happen to the big things when the big things come? You just have to get over it. You have to quit living like you're going to die the next second, you know, because somebody said something against you that they shouldn't have said. God said there's a wayward spirit that's coming that's going to hit the body and try to cause the body to leave their assignments. Now, we're forewarned. This wayward spirit is coming. So you have to know it's coming. Now, when it comes against you, you have to rebuke it. You have to tell it has no power, no authority over you. And you're not leaving your assignment. You're going to stay on the road that God has placed your feet upon, no matter what you're going through. God said, all of humanity has been waiting for this hour and dispensation of time. They have been crying out, when, Lord, when? We're into it, guys. I have had my hands of protection upon each and every one of you, and I have kept you from death many times. And now is your time of complete infilling of all that I am. You'll find that Colossians 2:10. You will need this infilling to go forth to conquer on all sides. You are the apple of my eye. You are my sought-out true warriors that will war with a fierceness never seen in the annals of church history. You will be unstoppable, and you will conquer on the right and on the left. Romans 8:35 through 37. Jesus conquered on the right and on the left. Why? Because he knew who he was. He knew what his assignment was. And I am believing that each one of you know who you are, finally, according to what God just said. And you know what your assignment is. And you know that God has strengthened you and given you the wisdom and the strength that you need to go forth and conquer the enemy. And God is saying right now, there's a fierceness that is going to arise up in some of you. And you're going to stand like a bold lion, and you're going to face the enemy down, and you're going to win the battles. But you're going to have that that fierceness arise within you, and it's a godly fierceness. And the enemy's going to say, hey, I better back off. They've learned who they are in Christ. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing God say. If you haven't learned who you are in Christ, that's not a sin. But quickly learn who you are in Christ. Every one of you, if you don't know you, this is a sin. But there's some people who haven't been taught and they don't know. It's your job to teach others who they are in Christ Jesus. And I'm hearing God say, just because you did something one way yesterday, you don't do the same thing today as you did yesterday. And he's saying, because the winds are going to blow differently, change is going to be in the air constantly, and you have to be able to move with the change. Well, God, you didn't do it this way a week ago or a year ago, but this is the way God is doing it now. Why? Because we're living in a different dispensation of time. Times are tough. Evil is all around about us. We need to be on the front lines, prepared for whatever the enemy throws our way. God's doing new things. You know, the church, we can't do church like we used to do. You can't do your business like you used to do. God is doing new things. Are you ready, and are you willing to change and go with the flow of God? It's hard to change, I know, but we can all do it. Where am I at, Nancy? My angelic host, yeah. God said, my angelic host will come to your aid always. In fact, each has been assigned angels to be at your beck and call continually. What did Jesus say? I could call a legion of angels at any given time. But he didn't, because he had to carry out his cross. Psalm 91, verse 11. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. Psalms 91, verse 11 through 12. God said, these angels are the elite of heaven. They know exactly how to fight the demonic kingdom and win. They have been trained in victory warfare, and they go forth to conquer, not to be conquered. We also have been trained in victory warfare. God has told us over and over again, you are standing in the victory circle. You are the one to conquer. You don't let the enemy conquer you. I'm telling you guys, you have to know that the battle is already won. You have to know that tonight. Before the battle starts tomorrow, you have to know tonight that the battle's already won and you are the victorious one. Everybody in this room is being fought. I know that. You're being fought to the very limit. And I know that some days you think, I don't know if I can go on, God. This is really a strong battle. But what do? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, say, devil, you're not going to win. I'm the victorious one. And you move on. We have to do that every day. Now, can you do that? Can you say, I am the victorious one, devil? You get out of my life. I'm excited because when God told me, and he just put that in my remembrance, when he was talking about the angels, he said they're the elite of heaven. I'm excited because he said we're going to start seeing angels in our homes. They're actually going to come and sit down and converse with us. We're going to see them sitting in our cars with us when we're on the road. The angels are going to be there when there's danger. They're going to be there, and you're going to see them protecting you. He's going to make his angels visible to his elite. And we are his elite, right? Isn't that exciting? Somebody's sitting there shooting their mouth off at you. You better be careful because that angel come up there and smack you, Goodwin. Amen. That's what I do. I said, my angel's really, he's here waiting to come to my defense. And you better, I say to myself, when people come against me, I say to myself, you better be careful because I'm going to sick this angel on you in just about 1 second. Amen. Come on. That's what we're supposed to do. I'm sorry, guys. It's sitting in church doing nothing has ended. We're supposed to be out there working with the angels. You know, they're working with us. We're supposed to be bringing in this harvest, and we have a job to do. And then the devil and his kind need to move on. Move back. All right? God said, a vast sea of faces are before you. These faces are the ones crying out in the wilderness. They do not know me, but they are looking for me. You will bring them to the forefront, and you will teach them of my ways. Are you ready to do that? Aren't you excited about these friends of yours that aren't really, I mean, they go to church, but they don't really know the fullness of God. Aren't you excited the fact you're going to be able to tell them all about the fullness of God? You know? And they're going to look at you like you're crazy, but you're going to say, yeah, it's right here in the Word, and you're going to show them right in the Word where it's at, because God will give quicken to your spirit where the Scripture's at. Now, God said, children, since when did I ever tell you that you were finished? The enemy speaks those words, but I do not. You are not finished. In fact, you are just beginning. We're in a new dispensation time. We're just beginning on this new road that we're on, and we're getting ready to just do some great and mighty things that you never even dreamed of. And God said, the road is paved before you. This road is the victory, conquering road that will bring in this great harvest of souls. Now he says this, and this is a good idea. I want you to bypass your brain and go straight into heavenly places and allow me to download all that you have need of in this hour. For as I said before, you have not gone this way before. Now, how many of you, many times I say, brain, shut up. Because my brain can get stupid at times. And I bypass my brain and I start talking to God. My brain has to listen to me because it's in my head, right? Come on. You can't tell my brain what to do, but I can. I have control over it. Do you understand what is ahead? Do you even comprehend the importance of what lies ahead? Miracles, that is what is lying ahead. Pure, unadulterated miracles that will turn this world upside down. These miracles will raise the dead. They will empty out the hospital rooms. They will restore limbs. They will restore minds that the enemy and his drugs has destroyed. Everything imaginable is in this miracle crusade you have already entered into. I can tell by some of your faces you don't believe that word tiddly. We are in the miracle realm. The problem is we don't believe that, and so we are not operating in it. Now, Sister Naomi, she knows it's rocks and miracle realm. She goes around praying for everybody and everything, and they get healed. Why? Because she believes that she has a power and authority, because God told her she did. She believes she has a power and authority in her hands to heal. Whatever God has told you you have, you have. But the enemy's trying to make you believe, no, you don't. That's your mind. You tell your mind to be quiet, be still. God said, bask in the knowledge that you are in the move, not waiting for the move to happen. Jump on board and allow me to show you the extent of the miraculous. No more will the enemy have the lead. He will be behind eating the dust of your shoes. He will be screaming, no, no, no. They finally got it. And they're destroying my kingdom. Are you understanding this? Come on. But he will not be able to stop you. You know, okay, so I've noticed that the kids who have sat in the house, your children who have sat in the house of God, don't believe in what they've learned. They bring somebody else in who has not heard what they've heard, and those people get saved. And they start believing in what they just heard. But our children sit here just like they never heard nothing. That's a little bit scary, because God said, you have rejected me at this point, and there's nothing more I can do with you. It's a shame when our kids or one of us can sit here and not understand or receive what God has been doing for us for the last 10 years, but you can bring a perfect stranger in here and they hear it and they immediately grab hold of it and run with it. And that's what's going on, and not only this church, but churches all over the world. And this is what God said. He's left the church, and now he's going out. He went out into the highways and the byways, and he's preaching to the lost, because he gave you 10 years and you didn't receive him. God said, you see, he just knew he had you. We're talking about the devil. He just knew there was no way for you to return home to your father who loves you. He just knew that he knew. But I am a loving, grace-filled father that forgives all who come unto me with a repentant heart. If you know somebody that you've been ministering to and they just aren't, their heart is hard, don't give up on them. If God doesn't tell you to give up on them, don't give up on them. They're going to turn around and they're going to serve God. Now, if God tells you to take your hands off of them and give them to him, then you've got to do that too. And that's a bad place to be. When God says, let go of them and put them in my hands, woodshed time. Amen. Woodshed time. And they're going to wish they would have listened before they got to woodshed time. God said, you are not on the road to recovery. You are already recovered from hell and the grave. The enemy has absolutely no more part of you. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and you can go forth victoriously on all sides and minister to the lost and dying from a perfect place of total victory. You're already recovered from hell. Hell has no more hold on you. You don't have to do what hell wants you to do, because you now belong to God. God said, you have been resurrected from death to life, and the life-giving blood is in your veins, and you can go forth and see salvations on all sides. John 5:24-25. You have been resurrected from death to life, and the life-giving blood is in your veins, and you can go forth and see salvations on all sides. Well, won't you be happy when the glory of God just hits us in here, knocks us off our chairs, puts us on the floor for 6 hours, before we can even move. Then we won't have this dead air in here that I feel right now. Because when the glory of God hits, because I've walked in that glory, when the glory of God hits, everything else disappears. And all you have is God and His glory. Amen. And I said, God, I said, there's just something not right. I have to labor and labor. You know, He always gives me the words. I said, but it takes me a couple of days to even hear a word to start on a message. And He says, the time is coming when there won't be any word preached, because My glory is going to hit that church. And everybody's going to be slain in the spirit for hours upon end. And they will be changed when they get up off that floor. I said, do it now. I'm telling you, I know we're this close to the glory hit, because it's really hard to get a message together. I mean, God dictates all this, so, you know, this is all God. But it's still, I have to sit and listen and listen and listen and pray and study. And then funny, He starts. And I said, well, thank you, God. And I don't like that. And I know we're that close to the glory dropping. And then really, all we're just going to be a church like we were before. People are just going to come because the miracles are happening. But it's going to be greater. And see, we won't have to labor over sermons. The glory is just going to be here. And He said, when that happens, that we're going to be here 7 days a week. People are going to be in our new building. People are going to be laid out on the floor continually before the presence of God. That is a day that I'm looking forward to. All right, God said, My Son Jesus proclaimed, it is finished. Death, hell, and the grave have been conquered. God said, children, stand up, shake yourselves. Now go forth unhindered into the harvest field. When you go home tonight, stand there and shake yourself really good. Tell the devil, get out of you, off of you, around about you. If he's in you, tell him to get up out of you. Do whatever. But shake yourself good. I already did all that. He says, carry the miraculous with you at all times. Never once give in to doubt and unbelief. If I said it, I will do it. Just believe. This is all God speaking. If He said it, He's going to do it. All you have to do is believe. This is not an unattainable task. The great I Am is sending you forth with power and authority to bring forth the lost at all cost and produce great signs and wonders. Give room for your gifts to flow. Do not hinder the flow with your flesh. Keep your flesh under subjection at all times. Give your gifts room to flow. In other words, don't say, do I have the power? If I put my hand out, will it happen? God said, whatever you place your hand to do, He'll do. He will do it. See, the problem is people think they're doing it, and they're not. It's the power of God that's doing whatever needs to be done. And when we get over this thing of thinking that we're doing it, and we just say, all right, God, I'm going to reach out there and I'm just going to lay my hands on these people, or I'm going to say this or say that, and you do it because you said you would. It's at that point that the glory will start falling whenever you minister to people. All right? God's saying, enter into the fullness of time. The fullness of time is right now when God wants to use us for the miraculous. We are in that dispensation of time. I've been reading where, you know, there's different places all over the world where God's glory is falling here and there. But God said when His glory really falls, it won't just fall here and there. It is going to fall and stay. It's going to consume. And He's going to stay. He's not going to quit. All right, what I'm saying is, all right, so tonight He'll drop His glory a little. Then tomorrow night He won't do nothing. Then the next night He might drop it just a trickle. That is the way it's going to be. When He drops it, He drops it. It's going to stay always. And wherever you go, the glory is going to be on you and in you. And you're going to be a glory carrier. And wherever you go, miracles are going to happen. That's what's going to happen. You know, you say, well, we really had a good service last night. well, we should be having a good, you know, if the glory's fallen, then you're going to have a good service every night. And it's time, saints of God, that we see demons flee from people. Yes. Not just brought to the surface and act up a little bit, but actually flee, get out of the people right in the middle of a service. During song service, during teaching, I don't altar call, I don't care when. It's time that we start seeing that happening. Not talking about it, not thinking about it, but actually manifestation of it. Now, see, we're all going to have to be on the same page. The body of Christ as a whole has to be on the same page, trusting and believing God that he is bringing his glory, and it is going to be a miraculous thing, and he's going to not stop. I've read a couple of times places where the prophets are saying that it's going to be a four-year, you know, miraculous journey. Well, I'm believing it's going to go on before longer than 4 years. As I think we had 20-some years, right? So I'm believing it. What God said, what he told me, he said, when I drop my glory in the lighthouse, it's never going to stop. You know, so we're not going to say, well, for 4 years, we're going to be having a good time. No, we're going to be having a good time until Jesus comes to take us home. And God said he's going to drop this glory right in the middle of the biggest mess the world has ever been in. And we're in a big mess right now. So, you know, this can happen any given second. Yeah, that one pastor wasn't at his church, and it hit over in Baltimore, and the glory hit while he wasn't there. And I said, God, let me be there when you hit. I don't want to be out somewhere. I read a story. I thought I wrote it down to put in my sermon the other day, and I didn't use it, but this little boy stayed home from church, and it was for Palm Sunday, and his parents come home, and they were waving the palm leaves, and they were laughing. He said, why are you having such a good time? They said, well, Jesus came by today, and he's darned. And one day I don't go to church, Jesus shows up. And the one day you miss church is the day the glory is going to fall. You say, ah. You know, sister, you know, Linnell's wife, Sister Sherry, she said she wouldn't leave this church for nothing because God showed her what was going to happen when the glory fell. She said, it is going to fall in here. She passed away, what, a month or two ago? But she was still waiting to see the glory fall. She'd walk in here just as we were ready to walk out. She'd get off of work, but she didn't want to miss anything. She knew that God was going to bring the glory. I hold on to that. I mean, I know he's going to bring it, but I hold on to that because she had a faith that she wouldn't waver in it whatsoever. And this is how we all have to be. God's glory is coming, and it's going to change us.